which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Look at James now, James chapter 2. I want to read the chapter for us, James chapter 2. You'll pardon me if I cough occasionally and all that sort of stuff. I've picked up slightly what other people have had in the last week or two. James chapter 2, and I want to read from verse 1 through to verse 26. James 2, and starting in verse 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. The opening verses is a challenge, or ought to be a challenge to every church, how we receive people in the services, whether they're visitors, people for the first time. And God very clearly is critical of those churches who would be nice to the nice people, but to the not so nice people, kind of hold them at arm's length and push them out a little bit. God says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. Remember that early part, he says, if a poor man comes in vile raiment, you say to him, well, sit here under my footstool. But if someone in nice clothing comes, he says, oh, come and sit up here. Oh, it's so nice to have you here today. God says, you've already committed sin. You have become a respecter of persons. And he said, you're committing sin. And so it's always a great challenge to my own heart as a pastor to trust and hope that when people come, they're going to feel welcome, and that we do have a concern for people, and we're not just after their money. There are all sorts of ideas that people get, but that we do have a genuine concern and love for them, because that's what's supposed to be our task, to make people understand that we do love them. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And whether they come in, they're looking a little poor, or whether they're looking wealthy, or whether they smell a little, or whether they don't, or whether they smell nice, whatever it is, we are to love them in the Lord. That's not my message this morning, that's just for free, that little bit. But I just, as I read it again, the Lord challenged my own heart about that, how we need to be aware of those things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible says this: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. God says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, and prove your own selves. That's going to be our message this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can be here once again. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the Lord's Supper, that tangible reminder of Christ's death on the cross, his shed blood for our sins. We're thankful for the good news that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Father, we're thankful for the passage we've been able to read this morning, and Lord, with this thought in mind, that we would examine ourselves this morning to see whether we'd be in the faith, that we might be able to prove our own selves. Lord, it's between ourselves and you this morning as we consider these scriptures. We ask, Lord, for you to add your blessing. Lord, show us that which we need to know, that which we need to learn, that which would make us more like Christ. And if there be any, Lord, this morning who would examine themselves and find that they're not in the faith, dear Father, they might rectify that as well. And so, Lord, we would give you the praise and the thanks now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to being examining yourself, whether you be in the faith, we're talking about now salvation, or the faith that brings salvation to people. And it's interesting, and if you've been a Christian for any length of time, or if you've ever been around people and discussed religion with them, then you will find that there are dozens and dozens of ideas of what people have about faith equaling salvation. You've got all sorts of things from people who tell you, I've always been a Christian. Well, that can't be according to the scriptures, because the Bible says you have to believe to become a Christian. You have to put your faith and trust in Christ. So it means you can't have been born that way. You haven't taken the first step. But you'll have people say, well, I've always been a Christian. That's a worry when people say that, because that's not Bible. You get other people who will tell us that baptism is needed for salvation, that you need to get baptized and then you'll be saved. And that's not scriptural either. Now, baptism is something that God requires of those who are saved as a picture of what's taken place in our life, that we have trusted Christ as Savior. We are dead in Christ and buried and raised again to walk in newness of life. But that's not to be saved. It's because we are. There are others who would tell us that to be saved, to have faith in the sense of salvation in that context, that you need to speak in tongues. And that's clearly not the case. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you look nowhere else, read it for yourself, the Bible says they have all the same gifts. Quite clearly, the answer is no. So if tongues were a prerequisite for salvation, then we've got a real contradiction and a problem in the scriptures. That's not according to salvation. Others think that you've got to belong to a certain church or a certain sect or a certain following, and that particular following or church or cult will tell you they're the only ones right, and that if you're not part of their organization, then you're not going to be in the kingdom or be in heaven or whatever they teach. There are others who think that salvation is all about being a good person. Well, I've just been a good person. You know, I hear people, they tell me, well, I've never killed anybody. Well, bless God, that's a blessing. That you haven't killed anybody, but that doesn't qualify you for heaven, the fact that you haven't killed anybody. That's just nice that you haven't done that. You get others who say, well, you know, I just believe in God. I believe in God. And that sounds great. And they think, well, surely that's enough. If I believe in God, then God will be happy with me. Then you get others who who merely give mental assent to certain facts. You know, there's a lot of people today, we could go across this country, around the world, and go to many, many churches, and we could ask them these truths. Do you believe there is a God? Oh, yes, I believe there's a God. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world? Oh, yeah, we kind of believe that. Do you believe he was buried in the tomb? Yeah, we believe that. Do you believe that he rose again the third day from the grave? Yes, we believe that. So you know for sure then that your sins are forgiven, that you're saved, and that one day when you die you'll go to heaven. Well, I don't know about that. No, I'd like to think so. I'd like to think I haven't been that bad. I mean, I hope I'll be there. And on and on and on and on and on. And you shake your head and think, now hang on, what's happened here? These people have given mental assent to certain biblical truths, but giving mental assent is not saving faith. It's faith in one sense. It's faith in the sense that I believe that those things are true. Listen, I went to Sunday school, a Methodist Sunday school, till I was about, I'm not sure now, 10 or 12, something like that, till I was big enough to say, I'm not going anymore. Sick of this place. I mean, I enjoyed the prizes they gave out. I enjoyed the lollies they gave you. I enjoyed the biscuits and the drinks. And I thought the stories were quite nice, but that was all that Sunday school was to me at that point. Now, if you'd asked me, are you a Christian? I would have said, yeah, of course I am. We all are. And what would be my basis for that? Well, I believe in the Christmas story. I believe in the Easter story, I think. Well, no, I do. I'm sure I do. And that would have been my hope for heaven. That would have been my hope for salvation, that I'd been to Sunday school and I'd learnt the stories, and so that takes care of it all. But quite clearly, that's not biblical salvation. That's not biblical saving faith. Now, there are different kinds of faith, and there's just a couple I want to just touch on for a moment. Just common faith. Common faith is something we all exercise. You are all exercising common faith right now. When you sat down on the chair, how many of you checked it out first to make sure it wouldn't fall over when you sat on it? You just sat on it, didn't you? You just kind of looked at it and sat down. Hope nobody pulled it out. And by the way, young people, don't ever do that. This is by the by. Don't ever do that to someone. When they're just about to sit down, pull this chair away and laugh. Ha 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 ha. You could injure them very badly. That's just for free also. Just don't do it, okay? But every one of us exercised some faith when we sat down. We didn't think about it, we just sat down. That's just common faith. We get in the car, turn the key, our faith just failed. But then we pick up the phone, and by faith we ring the RAA and they come around and they fix it. See? But there's common faith. But what we want to talk about this morning, when we examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Am I in the faith? What's Paul talking about? Am I in the faith? Am I saved? Am I a child of God? Am I in the family of God? That's the context we're talking about. Now, saving faith, you say, where does that come from? Where does saving faith come from? Where does this business you're calling saving faith come from? Well, let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from hearing the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, we can maybe turn there. In Romans chapter 10, God makes it clear that saving faith, faith that results in us being saved, comes from hearing, first of all, the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? He says there's two things there. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe that the Lord Jesus is who he says he was, that he is the Son of God, that he is God's Son come to earth. I believe that. I believe he died on the cross. And I believe in my heart, I believe not just in my head, but in my heart, that God raised him from the dead. Then the Bible says we'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe in my heart these truths about Christ dying for me, being buried, rising again the third day. I believe in my heart that that's true, and then with my mouth I confess it to be so. So I'm saved because of what I believe in my heart, and then I confess it with my mouth. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him if they have not heard? See, we're getting down to what is this saving faith? How can they call on the Lord if they haven't believed on him, and how can they believe if they haven't heard? And the Bible goes on and says, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, God says this: if someone wants saving faith, then they have to believe these truths. But how can they believe these truths if they've never heard them? Okay, so someone has to tell another person these truths. He says there in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, this faith in the context of salvation or being saved, believing in our heart, salvation, etc., this kind of faith comes from hearing the word of God. When I hear the truth that Christ died for me, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and in my heart there's a stirring which says, I believe that. I've shifted it from my head where I've given mental assent to it. I've moved it now to my heart where I say, I really believe that. The Bible says when we get to that place, then we're saved when we believe in our heart. But it comes from hearing the word of God. It doesn't come from any other source but hearing the word of God. And so we're not talking about blind faith. You see, some people say, well, you know, you're Christian, you've got a blind faith. There's no blind faith involved at all. The Bible faith is very rational and very reasonable and intellectually sound. It's not some fairy tale. It's not just something, well, you know, we just kind of believed it because we needed something to get us through the problems of life. And that's not Bible faith or salvation. It's not blind faith. Now, there's two sides to faith, of saving faith. There's the faith that God sees. Now, God sees everything, doesn't he? You agree with that? God sees it all. The Bible says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. God looks at your heart and my heart this morning, and he can tell whether or not there is saving faith in my heart, whether I'm believing in my heart that God raised Christ from the dead on my behalf as my substitute. He can see that. Now, you can't see that in my heart. I can't see it in your heart. But there is a side to this that we ought to be able to see in one another's lives where there is that saving faith. So there's the side that man sees. Man sees the faith by the works. And that's what James's argument was all about. So if we can go back to James chapter 2. And we can see what this saving faith is really all about. Now let me say this. It's not enough just to say, well, I have faith. I have faith. So well, that'll do. But what is this faith? In other words, we're to examine ourselves whether to be in the faith. It's not enough just to have faith. You know, I've had people say to me, well, I'm just so glad I've got my faith. And I start to worry. Honestly, I start to worry. I think, why would you be so glad in your faith? I'm glad to have the Lord, but I'm not glad in my faith. My faith is not what's going to get me there. God's the only one who's going to get me there. And so people say, I have my faith. Well, that's not enough. And notice in verse 14 of James chapter 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? All right, it's one of these rhetorical questions. He doesn't answer it, but the implied answer is no. Can faith save him? No. Only the Lord can save me. My faith won't save me. And so when people say, well, I have my faith. So bless God, what do you mean by that? Well, I just believe in God. Well, that's not good enough. And we'll see why as we go down this chapter. Verse 17. We're going to skip a couple of verses. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. James is arguing against this idea of saying, well, I've just got faith. James is saying in this chapter, if you have faith, then there will be works that will match up with your faith. In other words, when people look at you, they'll say, boy, there's a person of faith. And how are they able to say that? Because of the works that they see in our lives. in verse 19. Now here's the answer to people who say, well, I just believe. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. God says, well, you say you believe in God. Well, that's good. So does the devil. In other words, when we're talking saving faith, when we're examining ourselves to see whether we're in the faith, for me to say, well, I believe in God, God's response is, well, so does the devil. So what's different about you? What's different between you and the devil? The devil believes. In fact, the devils believe. Not just Satan, but all the other devils believe and they tremble. Why would they tremble? Read the account of the Lord Jesus when he dealt with the maniac Gadara. And he cast those devils out of that man. And what was their response? Hast thou come to judge us before the time? The devils know there's a day of judgment coming. And that's why when the Bible says here the devils believe and tremble, the reason they tremble is because they do believe in God and they do know there's a day of judgment coming for them. And so if a person says, well, I just believe in God, God says, well, that's good, so is the devil. You've got some works that would confirm that the faith you have is saving faith. In verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then the final verse in the chapter there, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James says, if you really have this kind of saving faith that we're talking about this morning, then there'll be some works in your life. There'll be some evidence that you have that faith. So just to say I have faith is not enough. But the other side of the coin is also true. Just to say I have works, that's not enough either. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I've been a good person. That is not salvation. We know that from what the Lord Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we, and then they'll run down the list of what they did. Didn't we cast out devils in thy name? Didn't we do many mighty works in thy name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things? In other words, here's the person who says, I have my works. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. So there's a hot, and the Bible says, many will say that. I've got my works. The Lord says, well, so what? I never knew you. Your works didn't impress me. I'm not impressed by your works. In fact, the Bible goes further than that and says, all our works or righteousness are as filthy rags in God's sight. So God says, I'm not interested in that. So here's the person who says, I have faith. Faith will do it. God says, well, just faith is not enough. Faith without works is dead. The other person says, well, I've got my works. I've cast out devils. I've done many mighty works in the Lord Jesus' name. That's how spiritual I was. And the Lord says, I never knew them either. I've got both sides. So, and by the way, salvation, and we're examining ourselves this morning, make sure that you're not getting a combination of the two either. In other words, there are those who would teach that salvation is faith in Christ plus baptism or plus tongues or whatever. So you've got faith and works as the means of salvation. Now we need to examine ourselves. If I believe I have saving faith, is it just that? Is it just that? Am I saying I have faith, I've trusted Christ as my Saviour, I'm resting and trusting in Him and Him alone, I'm not leaning on my own works, I'm not trusting in my faith, I'm trusting in the Lord. I have faith in the Lord, I'm believing in Him, trusting in Him. You see, it's not a combination of both. Well, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I mean, I've spoken to many people like that. They say, I believe Jesus died on the cross, and also I have been baptized, and also, and also, and also. So they've got salvation, saving faith equals Christ plus a whole bunch of other things. So it's not saying I have faith, that's not enough. It's not saying I have works. It's not trying to pull the two together and say, well, I've got faith and works, combination here, and God should be pretty happy with me, I've got both. No, salvation is by faith alone. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we could go and look at many scriptures that deal with that. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Didn't do anything to be declared righteous. He believed God. He believed God. Now, it's not just believing in God. Again, thou believest in God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. It was, Abraham wasn't just saying, well, I believe in God. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you pleased with me? No, it wasn't that. The faith that he's talking about here is a faith that requires trust and commitment as well. To illustrate it, many perhaps have heard the story of Blondin, who was a great tightrope walker. And they strung a line across the Niagara Falls. Took a light line over first of all, and then used that to pull a heavier line until they could get a cable going across Niagara Falls. And Blondin was reportedly the greatest tightrope walker of all time. And when the whole thing was set up, he got up there, jumped up on the wire, and walked out into the middle there. And you can imagine it's a situation where there's up currents and all sorts. There's a turmoil as the water goes over the falls. He's right down near the mouth of the falls. And one slip, he's a dead man. And he's up there walking across on this cable. He walked across to the other side. He came back. And they all applauded. They said, wow, he's the greatest. He's the greatest. And then just to show that he was really good, he ran across. He jumped up, got up there again, and ran across the other side and ran back. I mean, this cable would have been moving in the wind. But he goes up there and just walks across, and then he runs across. And then just in case they didn't think he was the greatest, he got a little stool and a little cooker and took it out there and cooked something in the middle, sat down there in the middle, balanced on this cable, cooked himself up something, ate it, packed it all up and went back. I said, man, he's the greatest. This fella is the greatest of all time. But then came the crunch. How many really believed in him? And so he laid down a challenge, got a wheelbarrow, said, okay, who believes that I could push a person across the falls on the cable in the wheelbarrow? They all said, yeah, you can do it. You're the greatest. Yeah, you're the greatest, Blondin. He said, okay. Who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? Now we find out who's really got faith. Now we find out who's really believing that Blondin is the greatest. And so he challenged the crowd. All right, you all say I can do it. Who's going to get in the barrel? You've all said you have faith that I could do it. But who's going to get in the barrel? One young man said, I'll come up. That wasn't me, by the way. I'm scared of heights, especially like that. He said, all right, here's the deal. He said, I want you to sit in the barrow. He said, you put your eyes on my eyes, you look at my eyes, and he said, you do not take your eyes off my eyes. He says, the moment you do, we're dead men. He said, you keep focused on me and me alone. Got him in the barrow, fellow sat in the barrow, he walked out on the cable, went across, came back with him. The crowd went crazy. They thought he was the greatest. But what's the moral of the story? The whole crowd said, we believe, yes, you're the greatest. That great faith that he was the greatest. But it was all up here. There was only one man showed that he had it really down here. He showed it by his works. He said, I'll get in the barrow. We can say, I believe in God till the cows come home, but we've got to get it from here to here. And when we get it from here to here, as the book of James says, there'll be works that will show that we've got it from here to here. Well, I think that you just got to be a good person. Where's the works that support the faith? Well, I think you... No. We've got to remember that this saving faith. Remember, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. How do you get in the faith? By believing as we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and following, that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And I believe that not just in my head, but in my heart. And it's more than just intellectual. It's saying I am now committing myself to him. I am trusting him for my salvation. I am not trusting in any baptism, any church membership, any good works, anything at all. I'm not trusting in my faith. I'm not trusting in my works. I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone who paid the price for my sin. He was died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. I'm committing myself to him. I'm trusting and believing in him in my heart. And then I'm like the fellow who got into the wheelbarrow. Now I've shown that I have saving faith. Because once I've come to that place, the Bible says we become a new creature in Christ and all things pass away and all things become new. When I got saved, I went from not owning a Bible to going out next morning and buying one. And I started reading that thing every day. You say, what happened? I got saved. Did you get a zap? No zaps. But I got saved. And people could see that there was something different about this person. They could see. I wasn't going in the direction of God before that point. I was going the opposite direction. Not a church goer, didn't have a Bible. But I'm now going to church. I'm now reading a Bible. I'm now trying to pray. I'm now trying to talk to people about the Lord. You see, there's some works there. So when I say I've got faith, they say, how do you know you've got saving faith? When I examine myself, I say, the reason why I know I've got saving faith, or one of them is, because I'm doing things I would never do naturally or normally. Why would I want to talk to people about God and about heaven and about hell and about the Bible normally, naturally? I've got other things on the agenda. God says, no, I've saved you now, and so there'll be some works. You say, did you used to believe in God? Like that. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Surely there must be something there, someone. Intellectual. But when it came to the matter of the heart, when I finally came to that place, I said, God, if this is true, and I think it is, I make a commitment to that truth, best I know how, please forgive me and save me. It's gone now from my head to my heart, and now I'm out buying Bibles, praying, etc., etc. See, that's the difference between saving faith and faith that says, well, I believe in God. James says there's got to be more than just a belief in God. And it's not enough just to say I've got works. That's not going to do it either. And so when we examine ourselves, we need to ask ourselves this morning, as we examine ourselves, maybe put it in this context, have I got into the barrow? Have I got into the barrow? Or am I back in the crowd saying, I believe that Jesus died. I believe that. I believe in God. I believe I'm a good person. Is that where we are? Or have we got in the barrow of salvation, if I can use that term? I'm in the barrow. I'm on the cable. I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I've got my eyes on you and you alone for salvation. Now there's some works there that show that. And as people look on, they say, there's a different person. There's something different about them. They've changed. They're not like they used to be. That's what James is talking about. Faith without works is dead. Faith with works. Now, what did James say? He said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. He said, I will show thee my faith by my works. The ultimate proof for others looking on is the works. But the works aren't there to get faith. The works are there because I have the faith. Because I have made that commitment. Because I have trusted Christ. Because I have believed what the scripture said. Faith comes by hearing. As I hear the gospel that Christ died for me, was buried and rose again, as I respond to that in my, not just intellectually, and it has to be part of that, I have to reason it out to a certain extent, but ultimately it's by faith I say, I believe that's true, I'm trusting Christ, I'm saved, I'm in the faith. I'm in the faith, and I've proved myself scripturally to be in the faith. I haven't relied on feelings, haven't relied on emotions, haven't relied on what other people said, but I've examined myself, and I've come to a scriptural conclusion, and now the Spirit of God bears testimony that I am a child of God. And what about us this morning? Now, God sees our hearts. God sees our hearts. And he knows, as he looks in our heart, where there is saving faith. As men look on, and view our lives? Do they see saving faith, which is represented by our works? But more importantly, as we examine ourselves, and that's what Paul said, examine yourselves. Whether you don't have to impress the preacher, you don't have to impress anybody, but you ought to be able to answer the question for yourself. As you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, can you prove to yourself that, yes, I'm in the faith? I know I'm saved. I know I'm trusting Christ and Him alone for my salvation. I know my sins are forgiven. I know one day when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. And then you can give yourself a tick. So I'm in the faith. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. And Lord, the test that has been laid out before us in the Scriptures. And Lord, as we've said, there are many, many, Lord, who would have all sorts of ideas about what it is to be in the faith, to have saving faith. Lord, and many of those, the majority of them, are totally erroneous and wrong. There is only one way. Christ is the way. And as we acknowledge that, not just with our heads, with our intellect, yes, but in our hands, according to the Scriptures, and He was buried. And as we believe that He rose again the third day, and we make that trust and commitment to Him, then Lord, saved us. And Lord, You bear testimony to us that we're saved. And then, Lord, our lives are changed. We are new creatures in Christ. And there will be works that others will see and know that surely something has happened. And Lord, what we can explain to them, that it's the saving faith that has brought about these works in our lives. And God, as we just bow before You this morning, Lord, You know every one of our hearts. Lord, I have no idea what is in anybody's heart. You alone know. And Lord, You've encouraged us, yea, even commanded us really to examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith and to prove our own selves. And so, Lord, as we would look at ourselves and then look to You this morning, Lord, if there be anyone here this morning who's not in the faith, and Lord, You would point that out to them. The Spirit of God would convict and convince them of their need of Christ. They maybe have a mental assent, they maybe have been in church or done all sorts of things, but they've never trusted Christ as their own personal Saviour, never received Him. They've never, as it were, got in the barrow and trusted and committed themselves to Him and Him alone for their salvation. Father, if there be anyone like that this morning, that You would just bring them to that place, even right now, where they would just say to You, dear God, I know now, as I examine myself, that I'm not in the faith, but I desire to be. And the best way I know how, I'd say, dear God, please save me. I believe that Christ died for me, that He was buried, that He rose again. I believe He did it on my behalf, and I personally trust Him now as my Lord and Saviour, and I put my eyes on Him alone for salvation and for eternity. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, maybe this morning you're not saved. You don't, as you would examine your heart. Remember, I can't do that. God can do it, and you can do it before the Lord. Do you have that saving faith? As you examine yourselves, are you in the faith? If you're not, then let me encourage you to do something about it this morning, to trust Christ as your own personal Saviour. Take it from head knowledge to heart knowledge so that you might be saved. You say, Pastor, I need to get saved. I've never trusted Christ as my own personal Saviour. I've never done business with God in that sense. But this morning I desire to. I'd like to. Could you please pray for me? I'd like to pray for you. If you could just slip your hand up, I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out or make you give a speech or anything like that. But you say, this morning I would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, my own personal Saviour, as His sacrifice paid for my sin, and I want to trust Him this morning. Is anybody at all like that? Just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, could you pray for me? I want to trust Christ as my Saviour this morning. I've examined myself. I believe I'm not in the faith. I believe some truths here, but I'm not sure that I'm in the faith, and I want to be. Could you pray for me? Just so we close out our service, anybody at all, say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to trust Christ this morning. I want to be in the faith. I want to be saved. Now, Father, for God's people, that we might be encouraged and blessed, Lord, and that our lives might truly demonstrate with our works the saving faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May He be glorified in our lives. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.